And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. From studios of what? Of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Here in, I tell you what happened last night. It's a, frog strangler. It was a frog strangler. It was big time rain here last night. I mean, damn. It was damn. And I, Don and I were really tired, and we just go, we can go out and stand in the rain, or we can go to bed. I mean, it was just one of those, but it was hard to go to sleep because it was raining so hard. I was like, wow. I'm going, you think the pool can hold it all? So it's, the animals, it wasn't really blowing that much, right? It was just rain. I mean, it's one of those just rain. So, I was going down, I said, that on little 2 acres here, that's enough rain. If you had a cistern or something, that'll last you a year. No. Yeah. You get, there's a formula for it too. It's called, acre feet and whatever. Anyway, so it was a lot. So I bet you, Donna, go ahead and check, see how much rain fell last night. I bet you it has it on the thing, how much that was. And I'll bet you during the break, I can find out how much rain that is per acre. And collecting rainwater is a really good way of getting your cells some awa. Because what happens is, in some parts of the country, I think what it is they claimed the water runoff in certain areas of the Rockies for Denver. That was when they passed law. Nope. You can't collect the water. It's all ARN. Well, I think what they're trying to do is keep, people from damming up all the water and it doesn't make it to Denver is what's going on. But, if it's my private property and the Lord done give me some Wawa, it's mine. Okay. It's just an example of just the. So what we're going to do today, let's go ahead and go over what we're going to do today. In the third hour, we have Ed Foster, the elected mayor of Quartzsite. But he's not the mayor of Quartzsite because the big bad guys are in charge. And they said, when we do the transfer of power from one mayor and city council to another, there's like a process. And we got to sign something or do something or, put a sword on your shoulder or something, right? Well, what happens if we don't do that? We don't want to do it. Yeah. And then what happens? I don't know, but we're finding out. So La Paz is the county, and they are suing the county attorney as in court. Well, we're going to make you. All right. Well, make us. How are you going to make us? Well, we're going to go to the judge or something, okay? So that's what's going on now. There is a judge involved. We're going to whatever. They call it, now we're going to find out this afternoon. Once it gets to a certain point, how much do you got to babysit this stuff? My whole point was like, get them bed. And especially in small towns, somebody went to me and they said, it seems like the smaller towns, the politics even worse. I'm like, really? You just start to figure that out? I mean, This is I got to tell this story. There was, you know, I keep talking about this, and I never look it up and get how this works. What I'm talking about is holograms. You know, holograms. Go ahead and put that in. Break glass full image. It's all about asking the question. Okay, let's get glasses on here. Where all the CMC that will turn hologram pictures from hologram, frequently asked holography, frequently asked questions, probably. The point that I'm making here is that when you break a holographic picture on a glass, and if a hologram breaks, is the whole image visible in each piece? Ah, this is exactly what I was looking for. I just love the internet. Let's see. No, each broken piece would let you see the image from its own unique perspective. Think of a hologram as a window. Anywhere you look through a window, you see what's on the other side. If you were to paint the window black, scratch a hole in the paint on the left side of that window, just big enough to look through, you would see everything on the other side. See, you would see everything on the other side of the window, like looking through a peephole. If you then scratch another viewing peephole somewhere on the right side of the window, you still can see through, but from a different perspective. This is the same effect that each broken piece of a hologram would display. Just remember that if you have two broken pieces taken from opposite sides of the hologram and you are looking at an object that looks differently from each side, one piece may let you see just one of those sides, while the other piece will let you view the other side. So you might say that each piece of a hologram stores information about the whole image, but from its own viewing angle. No two pieces will give you a view that's exactly the same. Okay. So, yeah, I wasn't entirely correct, but this is the point that I'm making. When you take, let's say you take a picture frame, you know, 8x10, you know, you got a nice hologram of something, all right? And it gives you a 3D version of whatever. If you take and you smash that and you look at one piece, you're going to see the whole image from that perspective. Okay, that's what they're saying here. They're saying that, you know, it's like looking through a peephole on the right side of the window pane. You blacked it all out. You scratched a little hole in. You look out and you see from that angle. If you get a piece from the left side, you'll get the whole image, but from that angle, all right? That's why it gives it that 3D effect. But the whole image from that perspective is there. You understand? So if I take a photograph, a printout, and I from my printer, and I tear it up in little pieces, and I look at one little piece, you're just going to get a piece of the image of that one little piece. A hologram is different. It stores the whole image from that perspective. That's what makes it 3D. So you go, and how? Because. Okay. So, yeah, that's a whole nother, you can read the whole damn thing. But, you know, what happens is, if you break a hologram, a glass hologram, that's a 3D image, and you take one piece of it, and you look at it, it has the whole image from that perspective, from that side. You do the other side, again, the whole image from that side. Now, that's something you go, what? My brain hurts. Okay, now this is the point that I make with that. If you want to see the entire image, no matter how small the piece is, you want to get a complete view of just a different perspective, but you're still seeing the whole thing. If you got the whole globe, the whole world, the whole 3D view of the Earth in orbit, and you're looking at this whole thing, the one world government, the United Nations, and the world court, and the world, and you look at that, you want to see exactly how that thing works, looks, whatever, from a different angle, in a smaller piece, you just look at a small town. It's the same thing. It's just a different perspective. And if you can understand a small piece, like quartzite, you can see, who's the head SOB in charge, okay? Who's his minions? Who's the bureaucracy? Who's the law enforcer? Who's the county attorney? Who's the city attorney? Who's the world attorney? Who's the, you know, you see what I mean? There's always a parallel individual that gives you the same. It's just if you can dissect the small, You get in there, it's the same on the big.
This year, you can experience a taste of Libertopia. Libertopia is a voluntary community based on freedom and peace. Visit the three-day festival this October 11th to 14th at Humphrey's Half Moon Inn on the San Diego Bay. With speakers, workshops, parties, and wonderful people, Libertopia has it all. Become a member of this peaceful voluntary community now. Visit libertopia.org. Tickets and hotel rooms are going quickly, so make sure to reserve yours today. Find out more at libertopia.org.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Holograms, 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 holograms. That makes my point. So the point that I'm making, and I want to finish up with that. The point that I'm making is that if you examine, you know, a small town, you know, how the dynamics are of, you know, who be in charge, who the special interests are, you know, who the politicians, what interests do they represent? Who's the law enforcer? Okay. Who's got the gun? You know, it's a chief of police of your town of, you know, a couple thousand. You know, I'm the law. You know, you don't want to fight the law because the law will win. Then you have the city attorney. There needs to be somebody to, you know, bring charges, and to who or to what. You know, you got the court, and you'll have the municipal judge. There'll be somebody up there that's somebody's cousin's roommate's girlfriend or something. And they'll do it. So imagine if you're, let's see, you're a drug kingpin, de la whatever, or, you know, prohibition, it's alcohol, or it's some vice of somebody made something illegal that people want. And all you got to do is get in charge of certain positions. If you're in charge of the police, well, then you're almost like got your own little kingdom there. Now none shall pass. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I tripped a breaker on the air conditioner. We're all going to die. I got that taken care of. Thank you. If you got the politicians making the kind of laws and so on, you can only get away with so much there on the surface. But when it comes down to actual law enforcement, if you have political opponents, you make their life a living hell. I'm sorry, you ain't with the program. So we're going to fill in the blank and charge you with and run you out and do, and you're, you know, a pain in the butt, and they go and go and go until there's a walking tall guy that, you know, goes around, you know, busting headlights or something. So it's just, there's always a ruckus. Then you have the county level. Well, you kind of got to have an in at the county level, because then the county can be a pain in the butt, and then the state. Well, in the Quartzsite situation, it's like the city attorney there went on to work for the county as an attorney or something. I mean, we'll get all this later today. But, you know, I mean, it got so incestuous and it went up at so many levels that you go, wow, Quartzsite's got a push pin in it. Quartzsite, because they already got targeted for all kinds of stuff. And the big thing I never brought up until Ed did, and he was a Marine. Okay. Here's a guy that was elected mayor. And he just asked some questions. You know, I mean, the whole reason he went in was like, where's all this money going? We got a few million, and you're in, you know, tens, $20 million, you know, it keeps doubling every year or two in debt to get out of it and to try and qualify for all kinds of federal money and everything. You have to get everybody on a municipal water system. Well, they have wells out there. They got an ocean underneath them. So they go, nope, got to get them on some kind of municipal, you get your fluoride kind of deal. Because if we do that, then we get all kinds of access to different monies. There's incentives on a federal and state level, mostly federal, that is going to give us some money, and we get to do whatever. And people that were in development or real estate would become city councilmen, because they knew that if they would check off certain boxes, that then their land would qualify for, you know, low-income housing, or we could do an apartment building, or we can build this development, or we can get, you know, whatever, an infrastructure paid for, de la some program special interest kind of thing we fill out an application for. Oh, and here's a new position. It's the grant writer guy. You know, there's all these different sources of income. You know, like the guy that runs around with the question marks all over his jacket and everything going, ooh, free money from the government, buy my book, get your money. You know, well, those guys really exist, and they work for, you know, municipalities, filling out forms, because that's what they do. They're going, look, man, you know, I fill out this form and check this box and I get this many millions of dollars. Yes, you do. And all I got to do is sell out the people to do the real. Yes, you do. Okay, I can do that. Because, you know, they always say, well, it's X amount of money for the city. BS. It's X amount of money to go into the city's budget so they can give it to Freddie or George or Jane. You see my point? So you do that to a certain extent that, one, you can indebt the people in a bond to do some kind of water treatment thing or whatever like that. That just qualifies you to get, you know, half of that money over here that then you can spend on whatever you want. You indebt the people for millions of dollars or whatever they didn't want anyway, but it gets you a nice little check over here that you can just spend on whatever. There was a, up in Washington State, a friend of ours has a neighbor up there that we, you know, spend time with and so on. And he's just a, you know, retired, interesting, well-educated, got-it-together kind of guy that was a major oil exploration around the world kind of guy. He consults every now and then. He'll go on his two-month trip to, you know, go exploit somebody. And so he's there getting involved in local politics, just goes to meetings and kind of sees whatever and just asks a question about different things and starting all of a sudden, boom, he's on the supervisor or school board, de la something. And the reason was he got involved was like, you know, why are you spending in this small town of a high school that has, I don't know, 60 students or something, that you want to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on this really cool LED blah, blah, blah sign? Why? Because the guy that was promoting it, you know, had a deal with the sign company that used to work with the whatever, because they can't. And he's like, why are you, what the? He starts getting and asking questions and so on. Well, it's free money. It's money from the yada yada if we such and such. And it was just, this whole mentality is infectious at the smallest level. But it's the same sickness that is at a global scale. So that's why I spend a lot of time on Quartzsite, in understanding that. It's one of the smallest communities here in Arizona. It represents so much of this stuff, and it's so open and laid so bare out in the middle of the nothing, and it's so clear what's going on. It's corrupt on a lot of levels, and a lot of it has to do with illegal immigration and the drug trade at a major intersection out in the middle of the freaking desert that comes up from Mexico, going up to Lake Havasu and Las Vegas and between Phoenix and L.A. You're going to L.A. from Phoenix, you go through Quartzsite. You go from Yuma or Mexico up Las Vegas, you're going through Quartzsite. Oh, Quartzsite's got a pushpin in it. Oh, and there's an ocean of water underneath them. And they want to put a big, giant solar plant out there, but it depends what the flavor of the week is on, you know, how they're going to make use of the land, depending on what program and grant thing they're going to do. So this is one of the motivations for them doing whatever. There's so many interests of the small-minded people in a small town that got big badges, and it's just, it exists. So what happened was, as the first mayor in Quartzsite was murdered. Well, kind of. This is what happened. First mayor of Quartzsite gets in there. He goes out. The next mayor puts a hit out on the first mayor because there was some development interest, de la somebody, whatever, and wound up the FBI got involved, law enforcement, and went through, and they put him out in the desert, threw some ketchup on him, took a picture, waited for the other mayor to pay him off, and then arrested him. And he comes back from vacation, the guy's arrested. Then they let that guy out of jail because he was sick. I mean, it gets weird. Well, it's still weird. Third hour.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Okay, let's go ahead and take a look at some, you know, you would think I would do this more because I know a lot of other talk show hosts use Freedom's Phoenix a lot for their show prep. I mean, yeah, you know, whatever. But I'm just, I tell you what my problem is. It's there's a lot of stuff that we put up there, a lot of science and technology and different things, and our energy project, all that kind of stuff will go on. You know, well, we ordered a lot of the stuff. Okay, I'm stumbling on one thing though. To be able to make the nanotubes that we want to get the surface area for the nickel iron batteries, that, you know, the Edison batteries that we're putting together, the yada, 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 you need the nanotubes to make the nanotubes. They want $1 billion, so I'm going to make my own. Thank you very much. Yeah, that'll be $3,000, you know, for this nanotube making furnace, tube furnace. Here you go. Okay. So this is like, you know, my activism, all the little goodies that we buy, and the radio equipment, and the video equipment, and the cameras, and the duplicators, and the silkscreen makers, and the plate this, and the printer that, and the folders, and the whatever, and cutters, and all this equipment that we have to do all this kind of stuff. Cool. You know, that's all, you know, whenever I do activism, you know, boom, shakalaka into your face, okay? So that capacity is always good to have around, and we'd be using it in this election cycle for grins and giggles, I am sure. Now, I don't want to share what we've been doing in with Tampa, because I know what's going to happen. They are going to be doing anal probes, de la whatever, and none shall pass to get in. But don't think that Ernie's not going to be heard. Know what I mean? So what we did is, we'll talk about it after. Because Ernie's going to do something. Yeah, but I'm sitting here. Nah, 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 nah. Now, one of the people that is going, Ed Vallejo, we had him on the show yesterday, day before yesterday, and he is a good longtime activist, been hardcore Ron Paul since before Ron Paul. And it was, it's been his mission to make sure that the voices are heard. And he does a lot of acting. He's manic when it comes to this stuff, man. Doing, 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 doing. I pity the people that are going to be in the van for 40 hours to Florida with Ed in it. It would be like having me in the van, you know? So I'm just going, okay, that'll be interesting. Now we're getting him a care packet. Are you getting him some stuff today? Are you doing? Yeah, Donna's working on making, you know, more of the Paul Festival dimes and so on for him to take, and whatever we didn't sell, him and Tim Frey, or we already shipped a bunch of them. They'll make them available and do whatever. So that'd be popular, and they're wanting those. So we're going, okay, what is it that we can do to get inside and have some fun? At the Mesa GOP presidential debate here in Mesa, Arizona, it was one of the last debates, if not the last one, with the Republicans. He's listed as a delegate, alternate. He's, precinct, blah, 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 got all his shiny badges and everything. Oh, I'm sorry. You're on the you don't get in list. You're not allowed. There's a special picture of you. And I'm like, what's the criteria by which you get in or you don't get in? And man, if there was a criteria, you know, Ed shall not pass, he's checked off all the boxes, I will be shocked if he gets in as an alternate that is credentialed and yada, yada, yada through this whole. They don't care because they know that he's not afraid. I mean, it's all intimidation and bluster and BS saying you got to do and fill out and you have to and pinky swear and made and controlled and by. And the head of the delegation of Arizona, you're responsible for your future in the party, and you don't get your little whatever, and you're not going to get your free weekend at Holiday Express on, you know, in San Diego or whatever, if you don't keep your boys in line kind of crap. You know, you get your green free or your, you know, escort hooker or something. I mean, you know, whatever it is that they use to control these people, you know, that they ain't getting it if they don't keep their children in line. All right? Well, you know, Ed's nobody's child. He's like, you know what? And this is his attitude, and he expressed it on the show. He goes, I went there to represent the people that voted for me. I made it very clear why I want to go, what I want to do, and that's why they want me to go. He is. And they're going to go, no. So I'm going, okay. So what can we do to have an impact at the Paul Festival, at the convention, because remember what happened in 4 years ago, Adam Kokesh got in up in the balcony up there, stood out, and they just couldn't get him. And he held a sign that said, veterans don't like John McCain, something like that. Warmonger McCain. And he just leaned out over. They just couldn't get him. What are they going to do, push him off? And then all of a sudden, you start hearing the whole thing go, USA, USA, USA. Whenever they start doing that, they're just, they're covering up something. Well, he got on CNN. They got on cable news, him standing up there, Iraq vets, don't like John McCain or something like that. And it was, and what he had done, and, I talked to him that night before when it was, I think Sarah Palin was talking, and he was thinking of doing it then. And he's in, the bathroom, and he's kind of, man, I'm just, I don't know. He's texting me and stuff. He's like, I don't know, man. Hey, man, they got the goon squad out, and and I'm going, whip, whip. So anyway, so when John McCain, the money shot, when he did that, yep, he had taken, it was a sign, Tyvek, whatever it was, a banner that he had taped around his calf, around his leg. Well, they're going to be doing body searches. They're going to do, so what special capsule do we have that they insert in your rectum? What kind of Freedom's Phoenix rectum signs? Is that how far we're going? Can we do that? Or is it a little bitty decoder ring that will, laser a sign onto the ceiling? Or is it, think your imagination. What kind of doom? I don't give a crap what they come up with. There's always something we can do. Now, you got to keep in mind, in 08, and we were invited to be part of the halftime show of the Super Bowl. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers were performing, and we went to rehearsals, three or four rehearsals, as the Arizona Breakfast Club, and it was a bunch of Lovelutionaries who were in there, but they just couldn't shut up. All the rehearsals, they're slapping, Ron Paul Revolution, stickers on all the outhouses and inside the stadium and doing all, so the day of the Super Bowl, it's after the first quarter, all of a sudden they're loading us on the buses, we're going down, and a whole, like a dozen sheriffs to go, your group don't get to go. I see you guys knew. Of course, us arriving in the Ron Paul limousine didn't help. So I'm just going, this, you can't. I mean, you just can't keep these guys. You can't. So I'm not going to spoil it. All right. So we'll see what happens. We'll talk about it after. So that'd be like the, maybe over a week before we get, it'd have to be even after that before we even get to talk about it. Because if I say anything about it, I guarantee they're going to stop it. But, just the threat, or there's just the word, they underestimate you right up until they start to overestimate you. So now they're, I don't know, what are they going to do? They're checking for cameras and sunglasses. They're going to have, they're so paranoid, and they're so secret, and they're so controlling on how this GOP convention is going to come. It's going to be a police state. And they don't care. All these delegates and people from around, they think that they're going, yeah, we got to keep the riffraff out, until they get, their, prostate massaged. And I'm going, okay, how do I know this? When we do the trash can flyers, and it has the total information awareness, DARPA, all-seeing eye pyramid on the Earth logo thing, which was true, by the way. I'm just like, wow, man, these guys are blatant. We put that on a long, 5.5 by 14 inch orange cardboard kind of thing, cardstock. And it has, you were out, we searched your trash and did this and did that. And here's the phone number to call, and it's the newsroom at the newspaper or the radio station or whatever. And we do that. The people that would complain and bitch and want the police the most were the neocon conservative. Hey, man, somebody did, made them feel bad, and they freaked.
Arizona has been one of the hottest real estate markets in the past, up until the last couple of years. Homes that were once going for $500,000 to $1 million in prestigious areas are now going for less than half of what the original purchase price was. That makes it a very good time to buy. So if you were ever thinking of retiring to Arizona's inviting climate and laid-back and friendly lifestyle, now is the time. That's where I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty, and I have provided a way for you to search for properties that are of interest to you, all at your own convenience and without having to give out any personal information. Visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com to start your search today. And when you're ready to make a move to Arizona's warm and sunny climate, please feel free to call or text me at 602-828-8255. 1819. Many are working hard to make sure Arizona is not only a beautiful place to live, but a free and peaceful one as well. So what are you waiting for? Make your move today by calling 602-828-1819. And don't forget to visit my webpage at donnahancock.com.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied, I don't need you.
Okay. This is, you know, fortunately, well, for me, We don't have a guest in the second hour, and there's a lot of stuff I want to go over. And I know one of the things that's the most popular and people would like for me to do is to go over Freedom's Phoenix, a lot of the stories and so on. Whenever I do that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, it just shows up in all kinds of different – they take the videos and they put it and add it to something, sometimes music. You know, if I did that all day, every day, it'd be like Ron McDonald reads the funnies, man. I mean, you know, it's just like, okay, you know, that's – ooh, look, children, you know, here's whatever. So I know that's popular and entertaining and everything, and the only reason I don't do it is because I really don't read all of the stories. I mean, if I would sit here and do show prep and read all the stories and everything, but I just go over the summaries, and it doesn't really do it justice, and you need to go to Freedom's Phoenix and go read your damn cell or get the email newsletter. And, you know, the email dispatch that we send out, it goes out in the morning and in the evening, in the afternoon. And what a lot of people don't realize, that's, of course, as a subscription, you can do it for free. You get that. Now, the magazine costs money, but the magazine really is more what I'm interested in. I mean, that's the kind of stuff I accumulate articles and perspectives from people that, you know, I want to share with me. So that, and then we put it in nice format for you. But the and it's just to get these people to do this, because think about it. I go, hey, would you guys write me a letter on this and tell me everything you know about this one subject, because I'd like to know it and give it for me. Can you spend a few hours on that so that I can read your thing? Yeah, Ernie, screw you, man. I'm not. Okay, we'll make it really nice. We'll put it in magazine format. We'll give it a pretty cover. We'll get it all and let, you know, a bunch of other people do it and subscribers and send it out and make it and kind of what you do. Okay, we'll do that. You see the difference? So I give them an incentive for them to, you know, think about certain things and share their thoughts and expertise on a lot of stuff. So that's what the magazine about. That's one of the reasons why I really like the magazine. I get, you know, some really high-notch people, and all of a sudden, you know, every now and then we'll get, ooh, look who subscribed here. Donna goes, oh, look at this guy. Ooh, this, you know, ooh. And I'm going, yeah, ooh. You know, so the magazine, I'm looking into the future. Credibility is the currency of the future, certainly in journalism. And it's, how much BS can you get away with before people go, you know, you're a BSer? And, the media is what? You know, immune to that somehow? You know, they think, well, we got a big newspaper that's now a small newspaper. Oh, we stopped publishing on Monday. Oh, we just do it Wednesdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays now. Oh, we're just, you know, guess what? We're out of business. And you look at Gannett, which is a large media conglomeration that here in Arizona, eventually blah, blah, gets sold to blah, blah, and then they make a government rule on who can have more media data, whatever, and waivers. What you call it, and all of a sudden you wind up with Gannett has the NBC affiliate, Channel 12 here, and the Arizona Republic newspaper, and this radio, whatever, stuff. Now it's it makes you wonder, why did they sell Newsweek, the magazine? You got Newsweek and Time and all that. Newsweek, they sold it to a gazillionaire for a dollar. This is losing money. Had no value. Nobody cared. Why? And why would he buy it? Happens to be the, you know, wealthy husband of a California congresswoman. You know, so, you know, what? They're going, are you kidding me? How much, yeah, blah, 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 blah on the inside. We got newsstand space. Every time you go by a, you know, newsstand going in the airport, on the train station, at the bus station, going, whatever, Newsweek cover of, you know, Obama. Hello, I'm here. I am to save the day. You know, boom, and they put it up on. You know, you got that, man. How much is that worth? You know, it's just a psyop. I can get that for a dollar. Okay, So it's just all, what's the future? It's credibility. And it's just, you know, somebody I go, I can make people, you know, look once. I can be all kinds of stupid and, you know, dance on my head and do all kinds of whatever, you know, go, look, 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 look. And they go, dang it, Ernie, you made, okay, I'm glad I looked. And then I get them to look again the next time. Hey, you look at it, they go, oh, damn it, Ernie. Okay, yeah, that was cool too. All right? You stop being relevant. You stop having cool things to look at. You stop having value in what you offer people. And they don't look anymore. Well, that's what's happening to the cable news networks. You know, news flash, breaking blah, 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 bombs and strafing and Islamofascism. I mean, you know, after a while, you're just going, God, you know, shut up. I'd rather sit here and watch my grandkids, you know, play Tinker Toys than, you know, one more, you know, the world's coming to an end crap. So it's like no matter how awful the news, which it is, I mean, you know, there's some serious stuff going on, but you don't find it there. Go to Freedom's Phoenix. All right. How much time do we have in this segment? In just a few minutes, I'm just going to give you just some of the headlines. All right. Africa is becoming new oil field. And Africa is becoming China's new oil field, and the U.S. State Department is not happy. It didn't surprise me today to read that China, this is from Business Insider, it didn't surprise me today to read that China was irked by Clinton's recent comments that African nations should be wary of China and their relationships were based on a need for natural resources bountiful in numerous countries. And, you know, and the thing is, though, what's China doing? You know, they're going in with a little bit of money. Yeah, we're going to invest. We're going to actually do. We're coming to some kind of. You think China has been doing negotiations and business deals for like, thousands of years? And what do? You know, we go in with economic hitmen saying, you know, your head guy is our head guy. And if he's not, we kill him and put in a new country and doing kind of, it's ours now. Oh, yeah. And here's a military base. Yeah, that's real popular, you know. At least, you know, China, they're going, hey, man, isn't it cheaper just to buy them? Of course it is. But what's the difference? Let me explain the difference. In China, the government, the people, the military-industrial complex, the king, the this, the that, it's all the same thing. You know, they're looking for a maximum benefit of the investment of their day law, whatever. In the United States, they don't give a crap how much money they lose. They don't care how many dead bodies there are. Just so a certain segment, a certain special interest, military, industrial, we rule you, we got missiles, how much crap can we buy and spend and use? People, those are the ones that benefit. You know, not only do we get the oil in Libya, we dropped a bunch of bombs. I mean, you know, it's just sick. And, you know, China is different how? Well, really not in the goals, just the means. You know, the people in Africa are probably, whew, man, glad the Chinese are here. You know, they bring bags of cash and kind of cool and build an infrastructure and doing it's cheaper. They're thinking like, you know, it's like a Sun Tzu thing. You know, they grow up knowing, hey, whoa. You know, conquer's easy, control is not. You know, this is, you got to be making friends as you do this. You get what you want. It's just you got to negotiate with the U.S. No, we don't want to negotiate. We just want it. And we'll make a bunch of money for certain people. Not for a society, not for a trade, not for, no, just that they make money on war. We don't want you to, we'll just give it to you. You just take it. We'll just lay down and do the dog thing and lay back and expose our throat to you. Go ahead and just take it. No. We got to bomb somebody. We don't want you to surrender. We want you not. You know, so I'm just, yeah. So anyway, that's what's going on. So they don't like it. Hillary's, you know, getting what for. Now for grins and giggles, this one story. Strip club manager answers all of the questions you were afraid to ask. A man who has managed a strip club since 1998 discusses all the facets of the business in a Q&A on blah, blah, blah. And I started reading it. I thought it was interesting. It's like, you know, who are the girls that come in? Do you try and talk them out of it? How much money do they make? And it's the money. I mean, it's, you know, six figures. You're going in there, I'd be partying and whatever, and they come right out of high school, and I'm going to fund my way through college. And oh, guess what? In the 4 years that I worked in college, I retire now. Next. You know why? Now, because they can. I mean, you know, whatever. I didn't read the whole thing. I don't care that much. Okay, the, yes, a Facebook insider dumping nearly his whole stake should make you nervous. Insider selling is rarely a positive sign for a company. Yeah, Facebook is taking a dump. I mean, I can see this coming. It's just, it's peak Facebook. That we got to the point to where, damn, but, you know, who don't they have a profile on? And all, think about it. Facebook goes totally bust, you know? So, all your heck, I'm showing you pictures of my grandkids that their parents put up. I can't believe you're showing that on your show, Ernie. Your grandkids looking pictures, got face recognition, kind of new, and then kind of don't. Yeah, I got it from their mother's, you know, putting it on the planet bulletin board anyway. You know, this is, you know, Facebook, there's going to be something else coming. I guarantee it. There always is. Google, same thing. But what? We'll talk about it.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Welcome back to the second hour of Declare Your Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hello. All right, this is what we're going to do for this hour. There's a point that I'm going to be building up to, but I got to go through all the news and stuff first. Normally, when I care, you know, I'll get up, and what do? I go, all right, and I turn on CNBC just to see what babbling BS that they do. But I haven't done that for like a month or more. When we went on the trip and I come out, I'm just like, you know what? It's just, it's so comical. It's so, I mean, when they started getting Kramer, you know, out of his coffin and putting him up on the stage there to blah, 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 I can't take it anymore. I mean, I feel like Jon Stewart trying to keep track of cable news, you know, and just like, no, I enjoy my brain cells more. So I'm just going, I'm not even looking anymore. This is what I think is going to happen. We have, Bob Prechter's coming on tomorrow. Bob Prechter, ElliottWave.com, he's been a good friend and guest for, you know, years, you know, from back in the day. And I look forward to talking to him. And it's just different perspective. He's got his own way of looking at stuff. But he's been, you know, hammering, pounding on the table saying, look, man, we're going into deflation. You know, blah, 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 blah. You know, they're going to be giving gold away, you know, and silver and whatever. It's going to take a dump. Well, it did. I mean, you know, it went down to 26, whatever. And, you know, some people considered that a dump from 48. So I'm going, all right, you know, so, but he, no, it's going to go again. So, I mean, it was tempting. I mean, it's tempting to, you know, pawn your children to go buy a bunch of silver at 26. But, you know, I'm like, no. So now we're looking at, and we invested a lot in the dime. So we use the dime, but, you know, so we're kind of cushioned when it comes to the silver thing. Because we put enough profit in to, I mean, even if I, you know, do my cost on the dimes, and we're getting it cheaper, too. We found a better printer that's going to be doing it for a lot. I mean, it was stupid what they were charging us. Each one of those cards with the rounded edges and the die cut and the two-color, I mean, on both sides, four-color, yada, yada, yada. They were getting up to 36 cents a piece for the paper. I'm like, I am inflation. I mean, am I that stupid? Well, I guess so. That's what we did because it kept building up that whatever. So finally, I just couldn't get the quality I wanted. We're done. Yeah, we're going somewhere else. And they're going, you paid how much? Yeah, we're a lot better. And then, you know, kind of. So anyway, so we're, you know, we worked that out. But it was hard to find somebody that could do this that would, you know, it's a lot more difficult than you think to get the quality that we want and the thickness of the paper to be able to, the machine that will do the four color on that thickness and the large. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a thing. So we got that taken care of, and the next batch that we're going to do is for Silver Circle, Daily Paul, and for Freedom's Phoenix. And we're going to do them all at one time. And I'm going to be doing a bunch of the magazine covers. And Daily Paul has a set that he wants to do in the new direction that they're going. And Silver Circle wants to do all the characters and a bunch of stuff that Davi Barker is, you know, coming up. The Muslim agorist guy, he's a great illustrator. And so we're, you know, working up all the artwork. And that's going to be very cool. Plus, they also are able to do calendars. So it looks like we're probably going to have a calendar, you know, for Christmas. This is Christmas. Buy our calendar for more than a year. And it's going to have, you know, Freedom's Phoenix covers on a bunch of stuff and different art. And it may be cool. So that's what we're working on behind the scenes on that. But my whole thing is, you know, there's other equipment and different things. You know, whenever you start a new project, you need more gizmos and so on. We'll go through that. But there is a Battle Royale. I mean, you know, it's cordial and so on. But, I mean, and it's a little bit higher end on this ad hominem, your mama kind of stuff much. But, you know, it's, educated, nice, influential, been inside, behind the scenes, string pullers of the marionette congressman kind of group. That has been going on the internet and, discussion group that I belong to. And it was, and I'm definitely one of the black sheep. I mean, that's just, there's no getting around it. But what has happened is over the years, it's just all of a sudden the anarchists have just got a foothold in this organization. And the man, it gets up to about a third now, and they don't know what the heck to do. While they just, you know, the button is pushed, and they come out and they go, boom. Ryan, and Romney. Oh yeah, Ryan. Right. I mean, seriously, it's getting weird. And I'm going, man, how much thought have you guys put into this? Do you know who he is? What he's done? I mean, what is there anything disqualifying factor? I seen this in the mid '90s. I remember the Breakfast Club. Yeah, I kind of have a lot to do with now. But before, it used to be, you know, board of directors, and you had, I mean, it was real, an organization that was just, I said, look, if I do this, that we're doing away with all that. There isn't going to be a post office box. There's not going to be board meetings. There's not going to, you know, we're going to gather, go, and do. Anybody wants to do whatever they want to do, let me know. We'll just do it with Frank or some of the other guys that take over if I'm not there. It's just, you know, it's just a thing. Same people. So, I mean, you know, really, we got to be that, you know, regimented. We're going to have, you know, a collective, you know, we're going to be in charge or something. I go, no, I'm a special agent, not in charge. So we're going to do this differently. It's an anarchist thing. So the Republicans got a dose of that. Now, back then in 96, I mean, they went on for years on the freaking Antichrist was Bob Dole. Oh, my God. He's evil incarnate right up until he got the nomination. Then all of a sudden it's all good, you know, better than Clinton. And I'm going, that is your standard, is better than the other. I mean, wow, his devil's horns aren't as long, you know, his teeth aren't as sharp, his tail shorter or something. I mean, I'm totally immune to that crap. I'm just like, no, I see that coming. Well, when Paul Ryan got the nomination, man, these guys, oh yeah, we got it. And I'm like, wow, do you really believe this? Or are you just, you know, building up brownie points with somebody or something? What? So I stayed out of it. You know, I ain't got time for this. I mean, you know, it used to be in the 90s, especially before I opened our restaurant. Man, I was at it. Everybody knew how bad I spelled. I mean, it was, you know, here and just, oh, you spelled that. I go, yeah, I don't care. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, then I'm good. You know, boom, boom, boom. I just pound it out. You know, this, I can't believe, and I just really go at it. Well, now all of a sudden those days are, it's taken up, you know, a few hours of my time over the last few days. That's like precious to me. But, you know, it's a good cause at a good time right up until the nomination. I mean, you know, the RNC and all that kind of stuff. I'll just keep hammering on a little bit here. I'm going to go over the news in the next segment. I'll go over the news in the next couple of segments. And then I'll read some of the email exchange. Won't give out to who or what said and who and whatever. But it's I love having the resources that we know. I mean, we take for granted. I mean, you know, Statism Dead 13 to Stephen Molyneux. Larkin Rose, you know, stuff here and there. You get a little bit of, you know, Chris DeWayne on, you know, the Greatest Truth Never Told or something like that. I mean, you know, this this stuff is just enormous. They'll go, yeah, but what? I go, here, watch this 5-minute video. I ain't got time, you know. Watch this. And the thing is, they're going, there's no resistance from Generation Next, Ernie. It's not there. We don't see a mass. You got Occupy Wall Street, and they're not the freedom guys. And you got, and then there's the Tea Party. And but where are the revolutionaries you keep talking about? That I go, they're not. They've abandoned the entire process, you freaking obtuse. You just want to backhand them in a nice way. I'm going, you guys don't get it. Let me tell you what the resistance to the state is. What I've been advocating for 20 years is stop supporting it. That's it. You don't got to go charge the ramparts or anything. Get the eye of the tiger once more through the breach. None of that crap. You just go, you know what? I get it. You're boring, and I got legs. I'm going over here. Next. Yeah, but they need to be collectivized and get a handle, and we can take them and steer them and manipulate them and do them and control them. We know you're out there. We can feel you now. We know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. We don't know the future. We aren't here to tell you how this is going to end. We're here to tell you how it's going to begin. We're going back to editing the next edition of Freedom's Phoenix Digital Magazine now, where we are telling the people what you don't want them to know. We're showing them a world without you, a world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries, a world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice we leave to you. Subscribe at freedomsphoenixeasy.com. That's freedoms with an S, phoenixeasing.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Whoa. I had the button right. Damn. I didn't. Sorry about that. Is the pain gone away yet? All right, here we go. Yeah, I was listening to something, didn't have it plugged in the mixer, and then I did, and zapped, and sorry. All right, this is what's going on. Declare your independence, hello. Now, what I'm doing is going through a bunch of the stories I want to go over here, and we'll just skip over to here. I'll go to that on the video. All right. I'm going to build up to what I want to talk about. Hopefully I get time. I never got enough time. Ernie, you're always yakking. All right, this is what's going on. You look at the stock market, 24 hours ago, it was 13,320.30 something. It was 13,330 about whatever. And then all of a sudden, see, what was the peak here? It was 326. 13,320. Now, remember, it was down like half of that, a couple years ago. I mean, it's just, but they just keep changing the companies. A lot of people don't know that Dow Jones is, the top whatever, and they go, that one sucks, and we'll put another one in there and make it look higher, and then it's inflated dollars. It doesn't mean anything. I don't even look anymore. I don't care. But, it dropped from yesterday, 326 down to what is it now? 176. So that's, it's like by the end of the day, I don't know, a couple hundred points. That used to be, oh my goodness, the sky is falling. Now it's just like, it's yesterday. They don't care. Nobody cares. It's just all BS. Blah, 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 blah. And I tell you, if you watch the news at all on this, they are ready for a dump. And they are preparing everybody. They're going, man, something be a-coming, and we don't. And they're kind of, they're hedging their credibility here. Going, well, yeah, there's a correction of a vast and massive non-depressional proportions that might be someday in our future. And I'm just going, these guys, they have no fundamental understanding of what's going on. And it's all just bluster and BS to try and get at the spike in the morning. There's Kramer up there going, oh, yeah, buy this. This one's a good one. This one has less fleas. I can't even stand it anymore. But then you go look at gold and silver. What is silver right now? Let's go ahead and refresh this. Silver is at $29.45. It was 26 something, not tonight. That's a big, enormous, oh my goodness, up. And what happens when it breaks 30? And somebody was saying, I don't know, it's $30.60 or something, and that's the new breakout, De La PSYOP, whatever, I don't care. So it once it breaks, you know, free, it's going to break free, and oh my goodness, and there's not a damn thing anybody can do about it, but it may take another dump. I got enough silver, I'm good now. I'm not going to worry. I got other stuff that I want to invest in. I may even, you know, it gets really high, I may even sell some silver, buy more equipment. I'm going to, you know, energize the planet because I can't. So this is gold. It's at 1641. So it's the gold has really been probably more stable. They haven't been able to break that nut. I mean, they're trying, but it's been pretty much around 1600 for a long time, which is wow in and of itself. And so, but the silver thing, if they're able to get that, you know, it goes down 26 again, you know, they might sucker me in, you know, to go ahead and, you know, get a whole bunch more. And but when we do the dime cards, we have enough in there, like they're $2 and whatever, you know, $2 to $2.20 a piece for each one of the dimes. So what do? You know, we put them in dime cards that cost a lot in labor, and Donna's over here making hundreds more to give and take and do and whatever. But so we have enough in there. We make our money back. I mean, and we really don't get for the time and labor that we put in it, whatever. But that's, you know, we got nothing else to do. Whenever we have time, it'll take a month for us to do what, if we really were serious about it and sat down doing a day or two. But, you know, it fills the gap in time. We're watching movies and whatever, and we make them. But the thing is that, you know, do we get more than our investment? Yeah. Okay, so even if I paid $3, you know, I charge enough for a dime, I make my money back. But that's not really what the point is. They are an educational tool. They're an outreach, an activist. It has, you know, access to the QR codes, to different things and stuff, and promote and everything. And, oh, it doesn't cost me anything? Oh, I make a little profit? Well, hell, man, that's all you had to say. So I love the dime card thing. So, you see, I could just buy dimes, you know, until I blew in the face and put everything in it, and I get it back later and get to promote. It's like free promotion. So I'm just like, that's the greatest thing of these things. I mean, a lot of people realize that, and like Roberts, he does the same thing. He's like, man, I'm a dime card making foo. You know, he gets Drew doing all his stuff and so on. So they got a thing going on, and he sees how popular they are. I mean, he goes to different events and functions and so on, and he'll be at Paul Fest doing them too. So I'm going, all right, so the silver thing doesn't affect me as much as it would most people, because I like the dimes because they're tradable, they're recognizable, they're parity, and I usually get the mercuries, which are really liberties. They call them mercuries, but only because they keep calling, you know, there's liberty quarters and liberty halves and liberty dot and liberty, and they just say, yeah, we just call them mercuries, keep that going up, that, you know, misnomer, because it's just easier to, you know, separate them in our heads. But really, they're called liberties. It's a Lady Liberty with a Liberty wreath. It just kind of looked like a mercury. I never understood that. Mercury. When the hell did mercury get involved in U.S. currency? Well, it's not. It's a liberty dime. So anyway, FYI, I just found that out. So I'm going, okay, so the silver thing doesn't affect me as much, and me getting all freaked out which way it goes up and down, because I get what I want out of them anyway. But the thing is that, you know, it gets to a point to where, you know, I'm just like, you know, it takes another dump. I've been waiting. Now, I'm just like, you know, Duggar said, my good friend, he says, when it hits 30, back up the pickup truck. When it hits 25, back up two pickup trucks. Well, he backed up his pickup truck. I don't know if he got half a pickup truck, you know, was down 26 something. So I'm just going, yeah, I may, you know, pawn off a couple of, you know, kids or something, okay? And go ahead and get a whole bunch more, because just FYI. I've been preaching silver big time, y'all. Now, this story is about, we'll just go through a bunch of this stuff. Abandoned venues from the 2004 Athens Olympics. They talk about all this. They spent $15 billion to do the 2004 Summer Olympics in Athens, Greece. And all of a sudden, now you got all these, you know, venues just sitting there going the weed. Why would they want to do this? I don't know. Somebody gets paid, you know, welcome to government. Okay, we talked about Africa. Here comes China. And we're not going to win this one. We keep doing this military, we got whatever, and you're dealing with China and Russia and everything. I don't see how that turns out well. I don't know what they're thinking. Now, this story, it's called, This Isn't America, You Can't Say That Here. And I'm like, what the heck is that about? Will Grigg wrote an article about, you know, this Marine that got arrested and you know, involuntary in the Huskow. You know, you must be crazy because you did a Facebook thing about your experiences or whatever. And He tells the story of they were doing during World War II or during the '30s. Martha Dodd wasn't particularly happy when her father was appointed U.S. ambassador to Germany in 1933. When the family arrived in Berlin, Martha found the city irresistibly fascinating. She immersed the tour guide in a steady stream of questions about architecture and history and culture. The touring car soon arrived at the Reichstag building, which 4 months earlier had been the scene of an arson attack that precipitated a politically convenient crisis. Now, of course, they've been saying how, and it's what started the Nazi kind of takeover or whatever. And they said, hey, you know, they were saying how this all was blown up and gone and everything. It looks fine to me. I mean, there may have been fire in there, but you can't really see anything. And then somebody came, a protocol officer grabbed her and said, look, this isn't America. You can't be saying that stuff here. You know, you're not a lap. Well, now America is just like that.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence, hello. All right, let's get right back to this. I want to go over some goodies. Now, on the screen, this is what I'm showing you guys doing live streaming and the archive video. You get to see all the goodies in here, and I'll describe it to you. Army sends mobile 3D printing labs to Afghanistan for on-demand gear. I mean, you just knew this was coming. Replicators in the field. And certainly it's going to be the military, especially when you got 5 years ago, 15-year-olds doing it in their basements. And seriously, that's exactly how I knew about this. There was a 15-and-a-half-year-old homeschool kid that was doing this in his basement where he took a inkjet or laser, whatever the heck it is, and put some polymers in there, whatever, and he was selling his services. I can rapid prototype anything that you want in my basement. That's my new business. Bring it on. And I'm going, oh, you stallion. I started tracking and seeing what people were making for less than $3,000 3D prototypers. I mean, they were making them. You know, they're just taking, you know, the printers, the brother computers, or printers. You go out there, HPs or whatever the heck it is. It's just a laser that they wanted. And you can plot it and do it because you can make intricate whatever, you know, print anything. That's what a printer does. All you got to do is change the ink to something else, a polymer that you melt with the laser and how fast you can do it and power to the lathe and kind of make it go whir. Really? So this is, you know, futuristic kind of, you know, ain't it cool activist stuff. So I can see I kept track of that. Now it's going. We had some friends over, you know, Sunday we had the pool party and so on. Some really good friends of mine, really smart people that this I was talking about, you know, the gun printing thing. They go, what? I know, no, you print out a gun, a real gun, kind of, you know, they use those 3D printers. 3D printer, what? Had no idea. I go, oh, I'm going to shock the crap out of you, because since when I first got shocked by it, now it's like, this is what they do. They took a camcorder, you know, and let's say we take, you know, like this remote, okay? This is the air conditioner remote. They go like this, they take this, they put it in, they scan it with a laser, and you know, it gets a color and everything. And it comes out exact duplicate of this and the color. Even on a camcorder that they did, the image that was on the screen got printed in the 3D printing version of that. And you set the two next to each other, and they kind of, you know, airbrushed it off, wiped it off, and then heated it, made it kind of glossy. I mean, you know, gave it a shine or something with something. And it looked exactly like the other one with the screen and everything. And I go, man, now, of course, the innards, you know, it didn't know what was inside. He goes, well, does it work? I mean, you know, which would be the next question. I mean, you're thinking, you're going, I don't know, this is pretty freaking weird already. It doesn't work, right? You know? But yeah, that's next. I mean, that's a whole nother tunneling x-ray, blah, blah, blah. You never freaking know. I just watched Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy was on TV yesterday or day before, and they accidentally, you know, to make way for an intergalactic highway, they blew up the Earth and they had to reconstruct the entire thing down to, is there anything you want to change? You know, nope, just keep it exactly, okay, boom. Every individual on the planet's neuro, everything, boomed exactly the way it was. Yep, sorry to bother you, we just finished construction, there it is, you know, going about your business. You know, and this is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, you know, written what, by Heinlein in the 50s, 60s or something? So I'm going, you know, and if you can imagine it, here it comes. So it was a good question to ask. Doesn't work, right? I mean, so this is what they're doing. 3D printing has yielded items both fascinating and potentially troubling. Now we can add one more to the list of printed achievements. The U.S. Army has had a rapid prototyping wing for some time, and now they've deployed full teams, complete with scientists and 3D printers, to Afghanistan. The Rapid Equipping Force, as the wing is known, will be there to print one-off tools from a 20-foot shipping container stuffed to the gills with tech. The Expeditionary Lab Mobile, as it's awkwardly named, could significantly cut the amount of time needed to produce equipment, which might otherwise have to go through an approval process, which, you know, you're already dead by then, before the gear gets sent. The printer can make plastic parts, while a CNC system, in this case a Haas OM2, which can create parts out of steel and aluminum. This kind of speed isn't cheap. Each lab costs about $2.8 million. That includes 3D printing devices with a full stock of relatively traditional tools like saws and welders and two engineers that get traded out every 4 months, yada, yada, yada. Now, what does this mean? Replicators in the field. You know, and this is, and they're just getting caught up. Heck, you know, the private sector out here, kids been doing this already. And it's amazing. I'll describe this to you. You know, maybe I should show you. You know, all I got to put in here is 3D printing of bearings. Now, what this is, I always show this just as a demonstration. You go to, they got one here that's done in color. Let's do the color one. So I want to show this to people. Now, you can look up here, and those of you on, I just show you. You print, and it comes out, a bearing and rate, just like you put on a wheel hub. It has the outside, the inside. It has the actual bearings that you rotate. You have hingeable boxes. You know, it's just, and it's in color. And it's not pieces you put together. Here you see all this gearing and so on, and it all moves and turns. It comes out of the substrate like that. That's what comes out. It's already done. It's built. It's, you know, dusted off, boom, put it in service. Done. Done. People, they're freaked out by this. I was. I'm going, are you freaking kidding me? I'm, whoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. So, you know, FYI. Now this, yeah, I want to go. Yeah, maybe we should go over that. All right, I'll just go over the headlines real quick. Operation Free Assange. Anonymous takes down UK government websites. And the United Kingdom was threatening the Ecuador embassy there that they're going to raid it. Raid it. That's how bad they want Julian Assange. Raid it. An embassy. Oh, once you start doing that, then it's all over. I mean, it's just pretend. There's no sovereignty, and, you know, then who's going to respect ours? They didn't in Iran. I mean, they go over and said, you know, that's what one of the things that really pissed off the U.S. is that the Iranian people just went in and said, you know what? We don't respect your sovereignty here. It's not, you know, you say it's U.S. territory. No, it's not. Well, they're going to do the same thing. So what do we have Assange out now? From the balcony, Ecuador, U.S., stop your witch hunt against WikiLeaks. Oh, yeah, that'll stop them. Okay. So they go, no, we're not doing that. No, we would never. You know, now we have Netanyahu determined to attack Iran before U.S. vote. According to the top military analyst for Israel's Hebrew language, Channel 10, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is determined to attack Iran before the U.S. elections. Once again, bringing the timetable for war into what Obama administration officials earlier this year called a sweet spot for such a war. You know, because if they get it started, is the U.S. going to back out after the election? You know, and what are they going to do? Heck, they're hoping to have it all over and it's glazed over glass from nukes, you know, before you even do the inauguration. And then Romney or Obama, whatever, gets to make money on the cleanup. I mean, it's just sick. Sick, 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 sick. Okay, and then we have Well, that's this one. Egypt is doing what? Sends tanks, warplanes to Sinai to fight militants. Yeah, and we can go into details, whatever. It's more war. I thought that was over. Nope, guess not. 65-year-old woman, you know, with a gun, chases off five armed robbers of her jewelry store. I saw that. You know, they come in with their masks and guns, and all of a sudden she starts shooting at them. They said, you know what? I think we'll leave. The truth about neoconservatism. Now, this was on Lou Rockwell, and it's by Ron Paul. Political party control of the federal government has changed. You know? To what? Now, growth and size of government is now in GOP hands. You know, that's pretty much that. Hank Williams Jr. says Obama staged a Sikh shooting. Did he? I don't know. Hank Williams says so. Whatever. It's news. Then, pain-free ways to make sure you're vaccinated. Is that why you're not doing it? Because it hurts? Well, we got a pain-free way to do it. Then you'll do it. Right? Right? Maybe not.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
I want to go over a lot of this stuff. I'm just okay. Dang it, there's so much, and I see how fast I can do this. I want to try and whip through it. Government documents prove domestic drones are for spying on Americans. We needed somebody to do a report, and doing the data dump of government documents secured by the Freedom of Information Act shows that the rollout of domestic unmanned drones will, for the most part, be focused solely on the mass surveillance of the American people. Duh. All right. There. Now you know. The technical glitch delays 9/11 hearing at Guantanamo. We're finally going to start. Oh, I'm sorry. The internet said we can't. All right. This is the one thing. Listen, you know, that's what I really want to get to. So let me move this over here, and I'll go through some of the other stuff, and I'll talk about that later. It's about the youth and how they don't use traditional media anymore. Top U.S. general blasts ex-officers for attacking Obama. You're not, and a lot of these, you know, they're ex-officers that get out there and they say, well, oh, you can't, you should, there ought to be a law. I mean, they're going to do like, you know, you're inside and you get, and you want to know what's really going on, and you do your Eisenhower military industrial complex speech and, you know, scientific technological elite taking over and kind of boom, you go into the Hooskow or something. I mean, you know, dissent is not allowed. All right. Tropical Storm Isaac could hit Republican convention in Florida. Okay, just for grins and giggles. DARPA looks to make cyber war routine with Secret Plan X. The Pentagon's top research arm is unveiling a new classified cyber warfare project. But it's not about building the next Stuxnet DARPA swears. Instead, the just-introduced Plan X is designed to make online strikes a more routine part of U.S. military operations that will make the son of Stuxnet, Stuxnet easier to pull off, too. As DARPA puts it, dominate the cyber battle space. And let me tell you what, you're on the battlefield. Get over it. Anti-Obama film drawing big crowds, even in New York City. Yeah. And what about, Obama deception and Alex Jones's stuff and everything? I watch this movie, and I guarantee you're not going to bring up all the stuff that he's just like the other guys. And the other guys are just like him. It's going to be this Obama and he and he did and he didn't in birth certificates and crap. And who cares? You know, I'm just next. All right. U.S. funds Israel's Iron Dome, but doesn't quite know how it works. So the United States is giving a bunch of money to Israel to do their thing. And what the reason this comes up to being, a big deal is that the top U.S. military officer's plane got damaged in Afghanistan by insurgent rockets on Tuesday morning. It's a reminder that the U.S. military's defense against short-range rockets remains a work in progress. Yeah, this guy goes up with a Stinger, or you stand at the end of the runway, boom, I win. Or here's a law rocket. Or here's a, a rocket-propelled grenade, RPG. You know, it's like, you know, seriously? Whatever. You know, it's just stupid to think you're going to stop. You know, what do? Guys just, join the Afghan police force. They get in. Verily, you are, anointed as, and here's your badge and gun. He takes the gun and shoots people. Thanks for the gun. I went through all this crap for 6 weeks so I can get this gun. Bang. And they go, damn, what the hell just happened? I'm going, man, occupation. You know, this is so stupid. Abundant natural gas and oil are put in the kibosh on clean energy. This always happens, okay? My entire life, it's always been, we're going to get up. OPEC, oil crisis in the 70s, and solar and wind, we're going to do. And as soon as alternative energy starts to get a foothold, and dude, yeah, boom, they subsidize or they open up a big giant field or whatever, oil and gas will all of a sudden be plentiful, and that it's all there anyway. They're just waiting. They like it to be up. Since the 1950s, the U.S. has had a perverse approach to energy. In effect, we have maximized demand by building bigger, hungrier cars, homes, and lifestyles, and minimized supply by limiting oil drilling, coal mining, and nuclear development. And how do we make up the difference? We buy oil from the people who hate us most. And it goes on and on and on about, you know, they're like, duh. I'm like, yeah, duh. Well, I'm just going to get, you know, it's not even about it being cheap. You know, we do our battery project thing here because technology is already there. You know, we're getting to where we're just going to get funky and have a good time and do it and be an inspiration to people and open source it. And you go to Battery Project. Just go Battery Project Freedoms Phoenix and you'll see all the stuff, posts that we're putting, resources and things we're ordering, getting and doing. Because I'm just, it's not about whether I can get it cheap or that, which I can. You know, it's not about that. It's about not being on their grid. It's about, you know what? Not only do I get in the future of Ernie electricity and I'm not paying you for it. That's it. That's my activism. That's it. 2013, that's it. It's no more complicated than that. I got electricity, and I didn't get it from you. Next issue, okay? It's that simple. Robot gardeners coming to Europe. You know, you got Asimo, the Honda robot out there introducing, you know, you got the Roomba. You know, it's vacuum cleaning your, how come I can't, you know, scale this thing up, put a blade on it, go out there and mow the grass? I mean, heck, as a kid, I'm going, how hard is this? You know, and that's exactly what's going on doing it in Europe now. Okay. The fastest electric motorcycle is also the most practical. Blah, blah, blah. Bottom line is this. A couple of years ago, they had a trial between a, I think it was a 250 motocross bike and an electric one, and the electric one beat them. I mean, that, they don't want to hear about that one. Okay. And what's happened is now because of battery technology, and they're using lithium ion, I think, and they can position the weight of the batteries wherever they want. Like in a gas engine, you got the fuel tank is high, and you got different components and drive chains and trains in different places and this and that. Well, electric, you can pretty much put stuff, you know, a lot more balanced to where it makes it handle better. But that's not even really the point. When you start getting to where you can charge fast or even just change out the batteries or you can get enough range on it, more than a gas, and all of a sudden these guys will spend $20,000 on a little crotch rocket, de la whatever. It matters not what it costs. I buy it because it's cool. Same with the Teslas. You know, same guy bought, you know, a $120,000 Tesla to be cool. I'm green, even though it costs a gazillion dollars. You know, he's going to buy the motorcycle. So electricity's coming, man. Here, you know, here we go. And is a motorcycle better than the gas version? And what kind of self-respecting, crotch rocket-owning kind of guy is not going to have an electric motorcycle? You see my point? Once mighty SunTech struggles to survive, and there's a Chinese company, they so oversaturated solar voltaics that it's got to the point to where, man, it's not profitable anymore. They've just, you know, been dumping into the market. So they're going, we don't know what we're going to do. They had four consecutive unprofitable quarters. Why? Because the price of panels have gone down slowly. Everybody and their grandma, man, once they started gearing up and they got all the hardware for making the panels, man, it's like boom, 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 boom. Last night I went and looked at Home Depot. You can go for and buy them for less than $1.50 a watt. And it used to be, I mean, it was, you know, $5, $6, $7, $8 a watt. And now it's getting to where less than $2 a watt. At Home Depot, imagine what you can do on the internet. Heck, straight from China. So I'm going, okay, the world's going to change. Rapid progress, controlling the imperial military with drugs, with suicide rapidly becoming the leading cause of death among those assigned to carry out the Empire's global mission of redemptive bloodshed. Officially sanctioned drug use is reaching unprecedented levels, notes the Los Angeles Times. After two long-running wars with escalating levels of combat stress, more than 110,000 active duty Army troops last year were taking prescribed antidepressants, narcotics, sedatives, antipsychotics, and anti-anxiety drugs, according to figures recently disclosed by the U.S. Army Surgeon General. Nearly 8% of the active-duty Army is now on sedatives, and more than 6% is on antidepressants, an eightfold increase since 2005. Are you kidding me? What is this? You know, like 1 in 10 soldiers on drugs? What do you think causes all these Columbines and stuff anyway? It's just kind of crap. Now let's give them a uniform. Strange days indeed. Amish population booming. Well, that's no shock. Amish families have dispersed across 29 states, stretching from Montana to Florida, within 456 autonomous settlements, a sharp increase from the 179 settlements listed in the 1990 census. You know, you look at all that, you know, what do they do? The Amish, they send out their, when you reach of age, you get a year. Go experience the world. Go take a look at all these guys on antidepressants and sedatives and this and that in the world and all the crap, depravity and, you know, and hunger and not as nice as here. You want to come back? If you do, come on in. We go build you, do a barn raise. If you don't, buy and deals, man. Go with God over there. But, that's a good way of doing it. They get to experience what this society is like. They want to go be Amish. Well, I want to be Amish with electricity.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Okay. Right to it. That's what we're going to do. I got mayor-elect and former mayor and mayor. We're going to find out. That's what the court thing is all about. You know, with Ed Foster, he's on the line and, you know, pulled off, got good signal, doing out in the middle of court. That's going to be good. All right, here we go. I'm going to do this. I told him, let me take 2-3 minutes to kind of do the summary of this so we can get up to where we are now, and I'll do it really fast, and he can correct me wherever I made it wrong. Courtside is a small town, a few thousand people at peak, or 15, whatever, it keeps changing, but it's a small, small town, halfway pretty much between Phoenix and L.A., or it's like halfway between Phoenix and the Arizona border, and it's out in the middle of the nothing. Now, there's ocean water under it, but, you know, that's a whole other thing. Now, what happens is they're at an intersection where the I-10 that goes from Phoenix to L.A. intersects with a highway 90, whatever it is, that comes up from the interstate at 8 and goes north to Lake Havasu onwards to Las Vegas. So might as well just say Mexico or Yuma. Okay. Now this intersection, I never brought it up. I brought it up first, you know, man, that's a hot spot for illegal immigration and a war on some drugs. Okay. So you got a lot of money involved and people in delay in another month that they can get away with whatever, just more money in their pocket. Okay. That's my opinion. Now, what happens is we go, look, Courtside's got pushpin in it. There's some focus on there, you know, but they got to launder the money somehow. That's where all this development stuff comes in. That's how they get involved at various different levels. You got the city. They always need to have the city attorney, the municipal judge, the law enforcement, shiny badge with a gun guy. It's a police chief. They have it. But it got so bad that at one point, you know, the citizens are rising up, and they get up to the microphone to say, you know, what the heck, I got this bill that just in my municipal water bill just went up three times. What the heck is going, hundreds of people in there. Well, a woman gets up and Jennifer Jones says, you know, let me tell you why. Boom. Even after, as mayor, Ed Foster, that's on right now, as mayor, recognized, gets up there, one of the city council goes, get her done, Jay, drag her off, pictures, goes on, planetary, Alex Jones, worldwide, Australia. I mean, they're like, look what goes on, and that small-time free speech don't mean nothing in America. This got a lot of attention. Here comes the Oath Keepers. They're going, look, man, why would Oath Keepers come? Because, you know, how is it, 8, 10 law enforcers there that worked for, they said, you know what? We don't want to have anything. We want to sign our name on a piece of paper saying, you know what? We don't want to have nothing to do with this corrupt police chief. We want to, you know, immunity from, you know, we're not with him. Okay. We know all the bad stuff that's going on with doing him. Man, we don't want to go down with this. You go get him. Well, they get fired. You know, then what? Well, we'll talk about that. Oath Keepers come in support of these guys. Well, some of them went back to work. Some of them went off to other places. Some of them have to take polygraphs, you know, with other law enforcement agencies to, are you telling the truth about it? Yes, I am. Okay. Well, do they want good law enforcers? Maybe they don't. I mean, you know, how bad are things? So while this is all going on, they do a recall on Ed Foster. We don't want him in office. They do the powers of, and let's go help the senior citizens vote. Now, when you get into the season, when it's winter and all the winter visitors come, you can get up to 100,000 RVs. There may be 500,000 people go out there in the middle of the desert, you know, chilling out, going to different shows that are out there. It's like an enormous Burning Man for senior citizens. That's what it is. So this is, you know, there's lots of money out there, and they want to get their grubby little fingers on it. They go into debt. They do municipal bonds. They start building all kinds of infrastructure. They want to qualify for federal grants. They get a guy in there, you know, if we do this and enslave the people, get them on the grid here, we qualify for and get and subsidies and back and door and done kind of crap. Government crap, okay? So we keep an eye on this just for what we can learn. But what happened? Ed Foster runs for mayor again. Gets elected. Well, the city council has to, like, you know, put a sword on the shoulder and knight him and sign a piece of paper or do something. They go, you know what, if we don't do that, we ain't doing that. Ed, you think you won? Well, you need us to, you know, like, sign a piece of paper. We're not signing it. Now what? Well, we're in the now what now. You know, here is a guy that went in there to look at the books. That was the original intent. Where the heck is all this money? How are you? Why are you kind of, oh, heck no. That's exactly what you're not going to be looking at. And they stripped the mayor of its powers to do all kinds of stuff because they could. You know, he gets in, causes a ruckus. He's getting arrested. He's getting, you know, chest out and inspect my authority by the guys with the guns and everything. And he's mayor. So then finally they get, you know, the people are on his side. They get him recalled out, though. You know, they, however the heck they, you know, I don't trust the system anyway. They get him out, and then he comes right back in. And they go, no, but we don't want you here. Who's we? How the heck did they do that? That is what the court battle is at right now. So, Ed, how far off am I?
You're pretty accurate, except the atrocities just keep rolling on and on. And just the latest one is Kenny King, the show promoter that brings the big circus tent here with all the RV show and the car show and the craft show and all that. And, you know, it's a big draw. That's why people come here. He sent a letter out that came out last week here. His sewer bill has climbed from $3,000 to $30,000.
Wow. Why?
And not only that, they think it might be a problem with the metering system or whatever, but the town says, forget it, we don't care, pay the $30,000. So, you know, it's just such arrogance. It's, you know, that would be like a small town telling Microsoft to go to hell.
Because there's something else going on. I mean, what is, I mean, is it just as simple as, you know, just drugs? I mean, is it that simple?
I don't know for sure. It's a conjecture. But I'll tell you what, even this last week now, you know, when the officers come forward, they all sign these depositions, you know, sworn statements by an officer alleging crimes of the chief of police. When I was mayor, I'd asked the Attorney General or the DPS to look into that, that they did, and they forwarded their investigation to the Attorney General, and the Attorney General last week has declined to prosecute because of the reliability of the witnesses.
Which is that what, was, officers?
Yeah, yeah. It's because of, they've declined to prosecute because of the reliability of witnesses.
This goes all the way up, man. I mean, you know,
I think it does.
All right.
You know, this is not the first time that we've had that. When Ms. Jones was arrested at the meeting, that is a classic case of disorderly conduct. If you look it up in Arizona statute, it's disrupting a public meeting is disorderly conduct.
But she wasn't the one disrupting.
No. But I filed a criminal complaint against the officers involved, the Chief Gilbert, the other two officers. I filed a criminal complaint with DPS. DPS investigated, forwarded the complaint, the investigation to Attorney Horn, and Mr. Horn declined to prosecute on that one. You know, you can't stop these people if you can't. You know, we were at Ask Post one day.
Oh, no, you can stop them. The problem is that you try and use the peaceful means that provided by the system to do it. And when you eliminate peaceful means, you leave only violent. And that is the point that I'm making. This whole thing is just representative of what's happened on a much larger scale. The system does not work. You are proof. When we come back, we'll go ahead and get into the details of this. And definitely, we've got the whole hour. We want to make sure we find out what the heck is going on with him being elected and then not being mayor. How are they even able to? Well, you just heard some of the stuff. Yeah, here it is. Go get him. Nope. I'm Attorney John. I decide not. Why? Who's being protected? What's being protected? And why? We just got to keep our finger on the button because it always comes out, always does.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, we're chair dancing here, baby. Okay, Mayor-elect and former Mayor Ed Foster is on the line, and let's just get right to it. Now, Ed, you know, tell me about this past election cycle, which was, when was the election?
The election, the primary was in March, and the general election was in May.
Okay, so May, we are May, that'd be like June 1, 2, and you're like 3 months later, aren't you supposed to be mayor?
Yeah, I am. Actually, under the town code, and according to a federal judge, that once you're elected, on the date of the election that you achieve the majority vote, you are the mayor, and you assume the duties at the next regular scheduled meeting, which would have been May 22nd, is when I should have been sworn in as mayor. They decided I wasn't qualified. Now, under state law...
Who decided?
The town council did. But under state law, under state statute, they have 10 working days after the filing deadline to challenge the qualifications of a candidate. After that, the qualifications are then up to the voters. The voters chose me and chose the other two candidates for consul, and not by a slim margin either. We have what anybody could be construed as a mandate. The election margin was 58% to 42%.
Okay, so you get elected and you go in and it's the first meeting and you show up and you use deodorant and combed your hair and everything and you walk in and go, it's time to be mayor, and they said no. I mean, how did that process happen? I mean, I don't even understand what they could do.
Well, in fact, at the next meeting, they didn't do anything. In fact, the mayor, Mr. Lazargat, tried to do something and they wouldn't, so he had tried to put it on the agenda to do it, and they wouldn't let him, so he adjourned the meeting, and they went to in the back room and come back out, and the whole meeting became dissolved into an illegal meeting, completely illegal. And every meeting since then has been illegal because, frankly, if they don't have by me not being seated, by Mark not being seated, the meeting was... The people seated were usurping the authority.
Okay, wait a minute. So there's another city councilman that was elected along with you. He wasn't seated either?
No, and he took his case to federal court. His attorney fees were $38,000.
Wow!
And he prevailed, though, and the town has to pay that. So now I am going to court. I did not have money to go in with him in that federal case. But a local attorney here in La Paz County has taken this on contingency. So this attorney is in court, and she has filed a mandamus motion, and we will have a hearing on September 6th. The thing is it's inevitable. They've violated all kinds of rules and laws. The fact was... When I got recalled, I challenged the recall petitions in court. They sent the town attorney into court against me, which should have been a violation of her ethics because she was my attorney as mayor. And it clearly states in the ethics, attorney shall not appear in court against the interest of a current or former client. Well, I was a current client, and she went into court against my interest.
They don't care.
I objected to that. And anyhow, the court awarded court costs or legal fees to her, and I refused to pay. So now it's the town assumes that I owe the money to them, not to her. And they're saying I can't be mayor because I owe fees, fines, and taxes according to some ordinance they passed. But in fact... It turns out that I was not aware of it. Somebody out there on the internet, all these internet people, figured out that you can't have election law in Arizona because we are one of the 9 states in the nation that's under a watch by the Justice Department.
Right.
So when you change election law, you have to get preclearance from the Justice Department.
Yeah. Okay.
And they didn't do that. So their law they're using is not even it's not legal under federal law. It's not legal under state law. It's just illegal, illegal, illegal.
Okay, well, I remember them doing this law, and it goes something like this. You have political dissidents that are just like, screw you, I'm not, and they go, yeah, well, we fine you for this, and we do for that, and we're going to get you for it, and whatever, and they go, you know, I'm not paying it. Well, these are the very people that they fear would run for office against them, so they made an ordinance saying that if you owed anything to the city, you were ineligible for running for the council.
No, it says... If you do this, you're ineligible to run for consul, and they need to enact or take the law into effect when you file your papers. They did not do that for me. And in fact, I ran in the primary. I achieved a huge majority vote in the primary. I was like 2 votes short of securing election at the primary election. But then I ran in the general election. It was, like I said, a 58-42 margin. But the fact is that they allowed me to run, and they allowed the voters' choice to go forward. Now, once it goes there, they can't do anything about that. They have to honor the voters' choices.
You know, you kill me. I mean, I've heard this many times. Well, they have to.
Yeah, I know.
That don't mean nothing.
What am I, dumb or something?
I'm going, yeah, well, how's that working out for you? So,
yeah.
So this
idiocy is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Right?
Yeah, man, you guys are classic. So this is, you have the county attorney's office. Are they involved in this at all, or you have to do this civilly?
Well, I went to the county attorney when this happened, and I asked to file a quo warranto. Quo warranto is by what authority, is Latin for by what authority. And according to the law, it should have prevailed and challenged the office holder to show why he was in office and not me, and it should have seated me. But quo warranto is so never used. In fact, I have had attorneys call me and just, wow, how'd you ever do that? You know, this is never done.
Because I read the law. I read court procedures. I've done the same thing. Well, how'd you know about that? Because I read it.
Anyhow, they filed a court, so they got the people out of office. But the county attorney tells me, well, you know, it only works to get people out, not in. But the law actually does say getting in. But anyhow, that was languishing out there. I have an attorney came to me and wants to do this, and she sort of agreed that it was better not to be seated by quo warranto. It would be better to go to civil court and get it.
Civil court. Civil state court, federal court. Well, we'll find out when we come back. Because this is, you know, when does the federal get into this, or should they? And how, I mean, it's broke. We'll see if we can fix it in our heads when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with Mayor-elect and former Mayor Ed Foster from court.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I'm just flabbergasted. I mean, you know, it's almost like you can't, I can't be surprised anymore. I mean, it's just, you know, you have the craziness of this. They come to international attention in court sight of all the stuff that they're doing, and you just go, wow. And what is the whole thing about the Oath Keepers? Their whole deal was, you know, you have law enforcement and military, you know, active or not, you know, and they're out there defending the oath. I mean, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know, this is the oath I take to defend the Constitution de la of. And when they do that and they get in trouble, well, here they come. Well, the Oath Keepers came out, did in 115 plus degree weather to court site to show support for what was going on there. And so now we have a situation. I mean, how much do I get involved? How much do I want to get sucked into this thing? Because I mean, think about what we got going on here. Here in Arizona, we have early September, you know, because they play games with the election laws just like they did with him. They'll do the same thing with, you know, so I'm waiting till, you know, like the 10th of September to make absolutely certain that Mark J. Victor, my good friend, criminal defense attorney, and Marine is on the ballot in the U.S. Senate race against, you know, presumably, you know, Jeff Flake or Cardone or this guy, whatever. And on the Democratic side is former Surgeon General, I think, you know, from back in the day. And it's just whatever. It's them. So I'm going to go, oh, but Jeff Flake, he's a Patriot Act. OK, I don't even want to talk about it. So what we're going to do is I go, you know, what kind of event, kind of fun we could have during the election? You know, what happens in court site? It starts getting cool. It hits, you know, October, November. Man, here come the crowds. And I'm going, what if we had Marine helping Marine Ed Clark out there doing the politicking thing just go because we can? And we bring out the RV and we do the show live. And it's just a, you know, half a day we go out and just have some fun just because we can. Yeah, I think so. Now, I'll talk to Mark about it. I think that'd be fun. But by then, hopefully, it'll be all taken care of. But still, that would be even better. You're mayor, and you go out there, and maybe you might even endorse him. That would be good, you know? So think about that. But the
that would be good, yeah.
So you look at, because you've met Mark before. You know his drill. Now, the one thing is you had this guy that challenged for city council. He had some money. So it cost him $30,000+, but then he wins. And off air, you're telling me, you know, along with the investigation trying to say that the election was fraudulent because the people got what they wanted and the council didn't get what they wanted, they spent $70,000 on the investigation of that. They spent the money on going after him and him trying not to get the seat. He prevails. Blah, 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 blah. $250,000 that the city is spending because they didn't want this guy to get seated. Now, after the success of that, you have an attorney comes up and says, Ed, you know, I'm on your side, man. Let's go kick butt. And now you got a hearing September 6th, and it's just all, there's something else going on here. Something is covering something. They're putting their bar cards on the line. The attorneys are out on front. They got people that are being charged with felonies for not performing their duties as the clerk and this, that. There's stuff going on. Now, obviously, they made it to where there's not going to be any prosecution anybody by anybody. But why? Why? Why are they doing this?
I'll tell you what, Ernie, I've thought. You know, we had a town attorney, a town prosecutor here, a local attorney, Matt Newman. And Matt Newman just withdrew and he says, oh, Mike, he told me, he said, that's the best job I ever got out of. He says, but they've got this Martin Brannon came in, and Martin Brannon was under investigation by the Bar Association for ethics problems when they hired him.
Martin Brannon, hired him for what? Who's that?
He is our town attorney right now.
Okay.
He has now got ethics violations that my attorney in the criminal cases put against him, and we filed a bar complaint with the Bar Association. It's now at the point of being, you know, where they go to a three-judge panel for a hearing. And so he has went all through the process. I mean, he is just that close to losing his license. But why would he do it? You know, he's making $70,000 a year as a town attorney. I mean, you know, this is not Microsoft. That's not his client. This is the town of Quartzsite. Why would he put his bar license, his very livelihood, on the line for that amount of money? There has to be something else there that would make a man.
In for a penny, in for a pound. Once you sell out to the corrupt De La whatever, you're their boy, get over it, and you don't want to wake up dead. I mean, this is what's going on. I mean, you know, that's why I say, if you look at Quartzsite and small towns, like, because we went through this years ago with Apache Junction, Florence, I already knew where this goes, and I told you that before. But the thing is that I'm going, all right, once you get in, once you start doing this, you don't stop. Once you're the boy, you're their boy. And I just want to know who they are.
That's true. That's who they are is the big question, because the people that are doing it against their own self-interest. You know, they're like Mr. Brannon, his career and his livelihood's on the line. Why would he do this? You know, he's working against his own self-interest. Same with the town clerk. She's facing felony criminal charges. Why would she do it? You know, she was a judge, so she knows better. But they keep doing it. And there has to be something else there that's not evident to the general public, you know, that they're hiding. There has to be another thing going on here.
You know what it reminds me of? I mean, it's not a whole lot of parallels. It's just a mentality of because we can and whatever. Is the movie, the story of, I think William Dafoe was in that one, Mississippi Burning. And it was just about, you know, they had a local cops, you know, they kill some civil rights activists and the cover up and so on. And it goes to trial. And the judge rules that not guilty, outside influence, not guilty, because we can do not guilty when we say not guilty. Yeah, but they go, not guilty. Now what? So they had to do this, you know, civil rights violation, and the federal courts get involved and all that. And the only reason they do that is when it's to whatever political interest that they want to pursue this. And I'm telling you, we are in a culture and an environment at the federal level also that they do not want to expose this very kind of behavior because they're so guilty of it.
Okay. Jennifer Jones had a recent trial.
Okay, you're breaking up. I'm sorry, what? Jennifer Jones had a trial of what?
She had a trial. The criminal charge was operating a business without a license, which she did have the license.
She's a dog groomer.
Right. But okay. She got got Mr. Al Johnson on the stand, questioned him. He's the code enforcement officer or whatever. And she got him up there, and she got him to say on the record, why were you doing this to me? And he said, on the record, because I can.
You know, if that isn't an Ernieism right there. Because they can't.
Well, when I heard you say that, I had to bring up that because that was, you know, and she is suing in federal court, and I can't wait till that testimony from that trial comes up in federal court, and the judge hears because I can.
Oh, are you kidding me? That's their mantra. They don't care. They go, yeah, he can. Yeah, that's a good reason. That's the best reason you could give because you can. Next. Yeah. I mean, you know, you think that's like some revelation to anybody. You know, they go, yep, good enough reason, not guilty. I mean, you know, it's just, I see. So, what was the end result of her case on her license?
Well, she was found not guilty. She had a license. She wasn't operating a business without a license. She had one. In fact, she's applied for a new one, and they cashed her check, and they wouldn't give her one, and actually there was a post-it note that she got a picture of. It says, no license for Jones, signed Al.
So who's Al?
Al Johnson, assistant town manager.
You know, wow, these are mentally messed up people, man.
Yeah,
you know, you get these kind of people, and they go to places like Quartzsite because they can manifest their freaking weirdness and get a badge and get away with it and probably have the support of somebody that wants people just like that. What do you think? They want Andy Griffith as law enforcement? Hell no.
There are those that just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, not too awful far away from hour and a half drive, whatever it is, from Quartzsite, Arizona. Quartzsite, Arizona is a wide spot in the road that you have to stop at if you're going to get enough gas to make it across the desert. That's their big thing. You'd think like the big power engineer, whoever owns the gas pump. But, you know, this is, you know, a good example is, you know, Ed gave us is that, you know, they have big giant shows there and somebody, big circus tents they'll put out. I mean, you know, a bunch of them. And one of the guys goes up and all of a sudden he has like a sewer bill of water bill of $3,000. All of a sudden it went to $30,000. He says, you know what? Seriously? I mean, you guys, and you wonder why they're, because that's not where they're making their money. They just soon these guys go away. They don't care. You know, there's something else going on. Something else is going on. If we really, really gave a crap, or really, really, you know, that was, you know, on top of my radar screen, I cared, you know, we go do the private investigating, and we got resources of, and the people that, and let's go spend a day on and everything, but I already know. You know, it's always just illicit, illegal doing goings on that the money has, you know, filtered down in the shiny badges and the official positions of people in Quartzsite. And they do not want to lose that. Lord forbid they have a citizen supported individual like Ed Foster get elected. And let's go in. Let's just take a look at the books. The first time he was elected mayor a few years ago, what'd they do? Instead of this time where they just go, we're just not going to seat you. Before they said, you know, we just stripped the mayor of the power to look at the books. Ha! Sucks to be you. Goes to the governor. Goes to the attorney general. Goes, hey, man, I just want to look at that. That's why I got elected. That's why I'm here. Can I look at the books of the town I'm mayor of? No. I'm like, wow. You know, as much as you find this offensive, as much as you would look at this and go, seriously? You know, I'm sitting there going, Thank you. Another great example. So this is just so, I mean, come on, man. It's so neon flash and obvious that this is just an example of. So how is it seen by the people there, the local press or the web pages and so on? I know you guys are pretty good journalists at this kind of stuff. Are you, you know, I see stuff comes in my email. I never read it. I, whatever. I'll clock the head. But the thing is that, you know, I'm going, all right. How are the people of Quartzsite seeing this?
You know, Ernie, I think right now, you know, I won by you know, 58-42 margin. But I think if the election were held again today, that whatever support they have has diminished even further. And I think right now, if the election were to re-held today, it would be 75-25.
Okay, now this is your signal's breaking up. Now the one question that I have is, you have a lot of people that like or did like to winter there. I mean, they're changing their mind, or are they like, you know, coming to support, or they, because, and I would imagine that, you know, they may be living in Montana now in the summer, but here they come and they've been reading the papers and checking online and at least entertained by what's going on or knowledgeable a little bit, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, people will come just out of curiosity for the outsiders. The towns are doing more fiberglass now by the town government. Those that might have supported town government.
Whoa. Are now looking at your signal's really breaking up. Okay.
Oh my.
You know, put your hand on your head or something.
I moved it off. Hang on. The town folks are, and more, you know, now they're looking and saying, gee, Ed, things must be a lot worse over there than we even thought, you know, the anti-people of the election. They're more on my side now than they were before the election. So,
yeah, but this is biblical, man. I'm telling you, here, this is what I'm going to do. Donna, call him back right now. That's just getting to where we can't use it. Okay, go ahead and just call him back right now. Thank you. The one thing that I want to make sure is that this is just needs to be archived. It needs to be chronicled. It needs to be. And because who are the bad guys on this? Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you suspect, you know, a lot of people, but it is definitely also the state people that you go to that were going to be the ones that you counted on to be not the bad guys. I mean, you know, this is, you know, have we got you? How's that signal?
Oh, you're sounding good again.
Okay, that's a lot better. Okay, so what has been your communications, you know, during, even as mayor, and you go to visit and sit for hours all day in the governor's office and wait for them to come out and say, you know what, you're waiting us out and we want to go home and, you know, we can't help you. I mean, you know, literally, that's what happened, right?
That's basically, yes, that actually happened. I spent all day waiting in the conference room for some word from the governor, and final decision was there's nothing we can do. I mean, Ron Gould was on your show one day right before me, and we were talking, and you asked him, and he said he'd had his staff research it, and there was nothing they could do. That is an absolute, you know, I mean, the state government has not got it within their authority to enforce anything. You know, the open records laws are unenforceable. The open meetings laws are unenforceable.
And they're worthless. It's just
they're
PR.
Worthless.
Okay, Donna, do me a favor, please, baby. Call Senator Gould and go ahead and see if he'll come on. I want to talk about this. Nothing else but this. Now, give him a call, see if he's willing to come on. I don't want him to come on right now, but go ahead and give him a call. Because Ron is, you know, it'd be interesting to see if he'll come on right before an election.
Yeah, right.
No, it's Ernie, oh my goodness. And before, oh yeah, and we'll talk about the RNC, the convention, and Republicans, and all that kind of stuff, too. Yeah, he'll, yeah. And
you
this
know,
is...
I want to get before the legislative committees this year, and talk about that. There needs to be some changes to the laws that can protect down the court side. There needs to be some changes to the laws.
No, we went through this before. I talked to Senator Gould about this very issue, and this is how it goes. Yeah. There is a lot of problems in Arizona. There was a whole bunch of them. Matter of fact, Quartzsite is on a long list of this kind of problem. We just kind of moved it up on the list that we're not paying attention to. That was basically
right.
It.
They just don't care. They don't really, you know, to them, if I had was Mr. Gould and looked at the problem and figured out I didn't have a law, I would have made it a priority to fix that problem.
No, they have the laws. It's just interpreted however they want to. If they want to do something or it benefited somebody that they want and somebody said, they, let me tell you, I would be pretty much able to say the word guarantee, okay? Let me tell you how it went while you're sitting in that conference room. One, they aren't aware of what the heck's going on. So they go, okay, I got a mayor sitting in there. They knew at least enough that you don't get to be governor without, you know, going through the process enough to know that you need to make some phone calls. So the governor's office, the aide or some political advisor, de la whatever, all right, whose toes are we stepping on here? You know, the people don't care. The elected mayor don't care. You know, town don't care. Constitution don't care. Laws don't care. That doesn't have nothing to do with it. Let's find out who wants what. But they call somebody and go, well, I don't have it. I'm not. Well, you should, you know, you never heard it from me, but you should call fill in the blank. Okay. So they call fill in the blank. And that fill in the blank says, yeah, well, you need to call such and such. And at some point, you know, there's somebody that has enough influence that says, run away. Or somebody says, you don't do this, or I want you to do that, or the best thing you can is, they get their marching orders, and their marching order, and the best they can get away with is to march into the conference room and say, Mayor Ed Foster, it's been real, have a nice day. That's what happened.
I got told by a state senator, I'll let his name remain anonymous right now, that, you know, that I suggesting that I should stay out of the media during last year's big hoorah. That I should just stay out of the media and let it quiet down and they do something about it. You know?
BS.
BS is right. That's what it was.
Don't ever believe one freaking word of that. That's right. Whenever they tell you to not do something, that means you do more of it.
Right. Well, I sort of figure, I'm a novice, but I did figure that out already.
Yeah, well, you know, we're helping, you know, edumacate each other on this stuff. Because you are, I mean, and that's one thing. I mean, you know, look at, you know, how this is building up. I mean, we've been, you know, we keep pinging on this.
And, hey, what's they messed with the wrong Marine here, I'll tell you that.
And that's the point I'm going to make. You messed with the wrong Marine, and we have another Marine running for U.S. Senate with nothing to do other than to make a political point about the proper rule of, and just take a trip out to court site and a bunch of us to go in with this example. Are you freaking kidding me? Just so the world will get a fresh dose of what's going on in courtside, because we can. Man. And then, they could try and stop us. That would be good, too. Oh, Ed Foster, man, good luck. Keep us up on what's going on, and we'll talk to you after your hearing on September 6th, okay?
Well, thanks again, Ernie.
All right, peace. Hold on a second. I want to talk to you a little bit more. Oh, you guys stay tuned here. Get an education how government really works.